Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Rain, shine, snow, sleet. No matter the conditions, Crusader Talk absolutely positively has to be there on your Monday night. And we are happy to be with you here on this Monday for another edition of Crusader Talk. We're talking everything William Carey Athletics from the field, court, diamond, and pool, and everything else beyond. Caleb Hamill, Josh West with you, Dalton Stanford operating the board for us here inside the Super Talk Hattiesburg studio. Been a while since we've been talking about the anticipation of snow being in the forecast. I'm just a little disappointed that it's not already baseball season where I could see that possible type of situation.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I mean, I left the tree up. The Christmas tree is still up. I haven't had time to take it down. So we lit it again last night. I think I might go make some hot chocolate. We've got some soups and chilies made. Watch White Christmas again.
Yeah, I mean,
just
you
let's just
go.
You know, let's just do it all over again.
I'm just glad to know I'm not the only guy in the room who still has the Christmas tree up.
You might be in a majority. I'm just saying.
I put mine up early, but I took it down. Honestly, I left it up for a little while, but once January hit, that kind of was the writing on the wall for us to be like, all right. I'm tired of making this near two-year-old have to avoid pulling the ornaments off the tree and threaten taking it down. So that was the reason that we went ahead and pulled it down. But, hey, could be a white Christmas for a couple people that still have it up, y'all two included. On the phone with us to start off the show today is Dr. Ben Burnett. I have my doubts as to if the president's home still has a Christmas tree up. But go ahead and clarify for us. Is there a possibility of it being up right now for a white Christmas situation?
Absolutely not.
We are
big believers in shortly after Christmas, moving on to the next phase and the next chapter. So, and this year, for the first time, we had to take down decorations at two houses because, you know, we still have our home in Oak Grove, where we've lived for decades, and then the president's home. So we had to do that two times, so we did not delay taking them down.
But what if you've got a two-month-old and you don't get the tree up till barely before Christmas? Do you get a pass? Do you get a one-time pass?
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Okay.
But we have a 26-year-old, so they don't know.
Did you make him come help you at least?
That would be a no. Well, no. Matter of fact, he did help.
Okay, good.
Both in putting it up and then taking it down.
Good. I would have had to call him.
Yeah, I know. I'll cut him a little bit of slack.
There you go. Dr. Burnett, obviously when it comes to inclement weather situations, a lot goes on behind the scenes. A lot of people are set. You know, twiddling their thumbs back. You know, a decade ago, it seemed like we would always wait until the morning of and wait to see it crawl across the screen on the bottom of the news feed before we knew when things would be canceled or if they would be on. William Carey was pretty adamant to go ahead and make the call about Tuesday a couple days ago. What all went into that decision, and as far as William Carey going ahead and stopping school for Tuesday?
Well, I mean, we attend the same emergency management meetings. Our director of public safety, Chief Rosser, attended that and got all the information. Of course, we watched the weather, but anytime when they say there's going to be a winter storm warning, you know, that's a pretty good sign that you need to go ahead and take care of everybody's safety. So didn't make the call about Wednesday yet, and Wednesday is very likely to be worse than tomorrow. But we'll have to wait and see, because many times as a school superintendent, I would cancel school and based on, you know, the forecast, and you wake up and it's not there. So we're going to wait just a little bit about Wednesday.
Yeah, and once you have already this Tuesday in place to be off, I mean, it's easy to extend something. It's easy to go ahead and make that call once you know for sure. All right.
And it, it's less complicated at the higher ed level than it was as school superintendent in these school districts, because, you know, they've got so many students and buses and having to make the days up. You know, in higher education, you know, we pivot and go to online because we have an online presence for every class anyway. So, you know, academics keeps going. We just won't open the actual offices of the university.
Now, Dr. Burnett, I am curious, because I know Southern Miss moved all of their students into their dorms this weekend, actually. If you drive over there, parking lots, parking garages are full. Has Cary already begun moving their students back onto campus? Were plans to start classes this week? How's this going to affect all that?
They started last week, though.
Yeah, we've already started. We're into the second week of classes. So campus is already full, and my wife and I went to cafeteria for lunch today, and it looked like almost like a regular class day. The cafeteria was full, and everybody's going about their business. So, you know, even though today was a holiday, that's not long enough for a lot of our students to get out of town, especially our athletes. You know, we've got track and field is deep into the season. Of course, both basketball teams, are going at it. Our baseball team, we had lunch with the legendary Coach Halford today, and he had his guys coming in for a voluntary workout because they start in less than 2 weeks. So it kind of looked like business as usual today.
Ben, this is Josh, and when I think about how exciting that's got to be for you, like you said, it was almost like a full day, but to have over 1,000 on-campus students now, to have that type of energy on an off day, if you will, a holiday or a weekend day, that's got to just inside give you all the good warm feelings.
It's what I thought it would take us a couple of more years, to be honest with you, to get there, and we're not near about done. I mean, we're already in talks of building more dorms and increasing our capacity and renovating some things. But it's just a different world on campus. I was talking about us going to lunch today. We're also there. We're on Sunday, and it was full. But early in the fall, my wife and I went for like a Friday night or Saturday night, walked across the street, went to the cafeteria. And last year, it would have been almost a ghost town. You know, just not very many people there. And this year, like on a Friday or even a Saturday night, it's full and bustling. So the campus is just different, and it's in a good way.
Speaking of that bustling atmosphere, I try to get there, you know, once a week to meet with coaches and see friends on campus and things of that nature. Tell me about this business leaders symposium or meeting, if you will. You're going to have like 25 business people, some really movers and shakers that may have never been on Cary's campus coming up.
Yes. Now, we got a couple of events coming up. Next Tuesday on the 28th, we've got an economic impact symposium that we're holding, and it's going to be probably closer to 80 or 90 key leaders from the Pine Belt area and abroad. But we recently had an economic impact study done to see what the impact William Cary University has on Hattiesburg, the Gulf Coast, and Mississippi as a whole, because, you know, we're now over $100 million business. And people need to understand the impact that William Cary has. And we've been here 132 years, but I think we kind of overlooked as far as what we mean to the community economically. You know, talking about that full campus, all those students, you know, they eat on the cafeteria most of the time, but they're out in the community spending money. And so whenever our campus is bigger, the Pine Belt's bigger, tax base is bigger, so we're going to let everybody know about that in, sometime next week. So we're excited about that.
We've got about a minute and a half left here, Dr. Burnett. Now, I just want to say, as we begin this, you know, second half of the second trimester, you know, new year and all that, what is the biggest ticket item on Dr. Burnett's, you know, agenda that has taken up all of your time right now?
Well, it would be more than one item. The biggest focus we have right now is moving our residential facilities down to the coast, in addition to Hattiesburg. We're not stopping anything in Hattiesburg, but we have a pretty big request in to, for Gulf Coast restoration money to the legislature in hopes of building a facility at the Tradition campus. And that's where our swim team is competing as their home field, and so we want to move them down there eventually, but also just opening up residential facilities for so that campus can continue to grow, because the Gulf Coast population is huge, and we want to capitalize on that.
Got about 30 seconds. I know you were down there for that first home swim meet. What was it like for you?
Well, it's kind of a new experience for me, you know, so I'm still learning that sport. But I'm going to tell you, those students, the swimmers, and our coach Gonzalez has been fantastic. And our swimmers, I mean, you can spot them anywhere on campus because they're just happy to be there and be on campus. And they're doing well. I mean, it's their first time as a team on two conference swim meets, the only two they've been in. So that's very exciting.
I'll tell you what, you're not alone in just kind of learning about the whole business of swim and all the different events and all that. You're in good company as Coach Gonzalez is doing a good job down there.
Oh, he is. And just one quick thing before you kick me off there, Caleb. I'm sure y'all have mentioned this before, but we were very, very excited and pumped to a couple of weeks ago announced that last year our athletic program had the highest winning percentage of any college or university in Mississippi last year, winning almost for a little bit over 68% of our games. So very proud of what our coaches do and what our students do.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Dr. Burnett. We'll see you around.
All right. Thank you.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Rolling right along here on a Monday night, you're on Crusader Talk. Glad you're with us, whether you're joining us live on 97.3, driving about town. If you are, enjoy it while you can, because you probably won't have such a luxury tomorrow night.
It's so true.
At least not without having your hands clenched at 10-2 and eyes on both sides of the road, because you never know which side you might end up on.
Yeah.
And don't go again. If you start sliding, go with the slide. Don't jerk and go against the slide.
I was just watching Cars. My son has latched onto that because it's a one-word movie. I think Disney does that on purpose so that toddlers can easily say Brave, Cars.
Yeah.
Frozen's a little harder, but it's a popular one. But I'm just thinking about right now the scene where Doc Hudson and Lightning are racing on dirt.
Oh, yeah.
If you turn enough hard to the right, you'll find yourself going left. Now, I do not recommend that on ice, no. But still, it's just what came.
What
to
did he, what did he say? Turn right to go left. That's what he told.
Yeah, exactly.
Lightning McQueen.
Eventually, he figured it out. But
advice you can get nowhere else, folks, on a Monday night. We're keeping you safe here on Crusader Time.
That'll be the advice once we get William Carey Derby car racing or go-kart racing and all that. That's the next one down the pike as Ben Smith, assistant athletic director, joins us now on the program. That's correct, right? Not bowling or anything else. It's racing.
Go-kart.
Think bumper
cars. Oh, ah, I knew it.
That brings,
cars.
I would have that loved brings that. Ben out of retirement and coaching right there.
I would have coached that when I was caring.
Yeah, what's it like for you right now? Yeah, we're less than 2 weeks away from baseball, and you're not getting ready for a season. At least not in the same role you were.
It's different. It's different for sure. I was able to go out the other afternoon and watch those guys in an inter squad game, and
can't keep them away.
I don't know. It kind of felt like punishing myself, to be honest with you.
Were they that bad?
No, it's good. That's good. I'm absolutely enjoying my new role, can I still say new role? Have I been in it long enough to?
It's less than a year. It's still new.
Okay. No, I mean I am. I'm enjoying my new role, and hey, and the good news for Crusader fans is the other day I watched those guys play. They look good. You know, early in the year, pitching's usually ahead of hitting, and the other day it wasn't the case. And I didn't think the pitching was bad, but they swung the bats really well the other day. It was good to see.
It's all this newfangled technology they got. They can pick up on spin rates and learn from all this new data they've got of launch angles and everything
instant
else like that.
Feedback. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, college baseball has changed so much in the last few years when it comes to analytics and even pitching styles to go with that, with all the new data we have and all the extreme amounts of camps and summer ball that guys are doing nowadays compared to what they once did. Does it feel like to you that we're kind of leveling off finally and things are kind of settling down, or do you feel like it's still on the same fast rate trajectory, just going upward of increased athleticism and learning?
No, I think the players, obviously, they get better every year because there's new technology and new ways to learn about the body and the movements of the body to harness the most energy. So I think we're going to continue to see athletes getting better every year. As of right now, the technology, I guess, in the last couple of years hasn't changed. So until something better comes along, this is what you've got. But I do think now that it's becoming, it's becoming more affordable for smaller colleges to get their hands on it now. As a couple of years ago, it was just the biggest schools that had it. You're seeing more and more smaller colleges now that have that opportunity to get that technology.
Talking with Ben Smith, assistant athletic director at William Carey. And Ben, as we get ready for kind of picking up where we left off starting this new year, already a couple athletic contests under our belt, but Dr. Burnett pointed out a really big thing involving our university, and that's how great our winning percentage is as a whole across the entire athletic department for the last year. Tops in the state of Mississippi, and that's a testament to the buy-in of these kids as well as the coaching staff as well. And it all starts from the administration downward.
Well, we've got a great coaching staff. And most of these coaches have been around for a while on campus, so they know what makes William Carey go. They do a really good job year in and year out. And, last year, like I said, we were the top athletic department in the state, from top to bottom. And this year, we've already started out better through the first half of the year than we did last year. So I'm anxious to see how we end up after the spring.
Ben, that's really incredible. I mean, that's a testament to the rise of men's basketball getting back to where they have been, men's soccer back to where they have been. Not necessarily that's anything that's uncharted waters, so to speak. And I know that you're excited for fans to be able to engage more with this, and that's going to be with the app that is just, I mean, any day about to launch.
I'm glad you've mentioned that. We are right there at the end. I'm hoping for the end of the month. It's taken the company a little longer to build it out than I thought they would. But we are so close, and this is going to be something that every Crusader fan is going to enjoy. There's something there for everyone. There's going to be really great opportunities for students to earn points, to put toward gear and things like that. It's going to be a way to connect athletes to other students on campus, because we all know it's a two-way street. For people to get people to come out to ball games, we've got to get our athletes going to things on campus as well. And this is a way that we can do that. It's also another way for businesses to advertise with us, so it's going to be really, really great. I'm excited about it. I wish it was done right now so we can go ahead and launch it, because I know everybody's going to love it.
Well, one of the things fans will know about when they've got that app or things that are coming up this weekend, schedule changes. And we knew that you would have been kind of a part of some of those conversations today. Bruton Parker, that game for Saturday, that stays the same. But the Thursday contest against Middle Georgia State, because of this winter storm, had been moved to Monday. Talk about what went into that, because this is a storm that could affect, it feels like, almost half the league.
Yeah, well, this is a rare event for us. I read somewhere that you're talking about once in every couple of decades kind of storm, and, it's going to go all the way across the southeast, so that obviously affects travel plans. We got to make sure that the roads are safe for us to travel on, and, that's really the gist of it. Is safety is our number one concern, and hopefully it won't be as bad as they're calling for. Although I have to admit, I'm a sucker for a little snow. I'm like a big kid, so I'm kind of looking forward to having some that actually sticks to the ground.
Now, when you were in school at Cary, did you ever have a snow day?
I don't recall ever having a snow day. I can remember going and playing a couple of times where we played in some snow flurries.
Ooh.
My freshman year, we played at Southern Arkansas during spring break.
It's always Arkansas.
And it snowed almost the entire game. That was miserable. I got hit. They brought their closer in, which is a good story. We were down by a run. Coach Alford had been thrown out of the game. Our assistant coach, Jeff Long, had been thrown out of the game. Our pitching coach didn't know the signs, so he was coaching first base, and we had a player that was a senior coaching third because he knew all the signs. And we were down a run in the ninth inning, and they bring their closer in. He's 92-93. I think I was either the first or second batter, and the first pitch he threw me, I got hit in the elbow with a 92-mile-an-hour fastball.
Ooh.
And you get hit in the elbow with 92 in the snow, it hurts really bad. I got to first base. The umpire asked me if I was okay. I told him no. And I said, give me a minute. I walked off the side and threw up. It hurts so bad. So.
Mm.
Good gracious.
Did y'all come back in that one?
We did. We ended up coming back and winning the game. So the bus ride home was nice.
What did that elbow look like? How big was that goose egg on that elbow?
It swelled up pretty good. I was fortunate that I didn't have anything worse than a bad bruise and swelling.
I'll tell you what, we got about a minute left here. Any other big things that are going on with William Cary Athletics in your world that we need to talk about?
Not necessarily my world, but, you know, our swim team just recently hosted, our first ever event. That was a big deal. Track and field, indoor track and field's going on right now. It won't be long before we're, doing outdoor track and field. So we're baseball, softball is about to kick off, basketball is in full swing. Both teams looking good for the postseason. So there's a lot of stuff going on right now in the athletic department. We got to get people to come out and watch because we've got really good teams.
Hey, Ben, I just want to let you know I'm all in promoting this app and getting some buy-in from the community and schools. And just I'm excited about it, man. Just let me know.
Yeah. And we've got some new sponsors as well that folks will hear over the radio and then commercials and stuff. City of Hattiesburg does a big sponsorship with them. We're really appreciative of Toby Barker for that. And also a new one, Hattiesburg Clinic. Kind of wanted to shout them out on here. They're also a new sponsor. So we appreciate all the guys in the community that help us out.
And anybody else out there wanting to get their name attached to Crusader Athletics, it's a hot ticket. You want to be a part of it and contact Ben with all those inquiries because we've got a little bit of space available that you will want to take up as soon as you can. Ben, so good to talk to you. We look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Thank you, guys.
All right. That is Ben Smith, Assistant Athletic Director William Cary. When we come back, recap of the athletics week. Not a whole lot going on, but got to recap a men's basketball matchup with Mobile. Preview the weekend and look at some of the RPI releases and rankings from the previous week. That and more coming up as Crusader Talk continues.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Well, it's been the Ben Show so far. Dr. Ben Burnett and then Assistant Athletic Director Ben Smith joining us in the first two segments. I don't have a good segue to say anything about Ben when it comes to the last basketball game we had on the road at Farr Gym in Mobile as William Cary doesn't quite get the job done. They're outshot down there in Mobile. Final score in that one, a loss 82-64. Yeah, you know, when you look at that final score, Josh, I don't know that really tells the full story of what all happened down there. But all in all, Mobile was shooting well. Cary shot well. Second half is just a rough start.
Yeah, well, so that was a ball game in which the length of Mobile. I mean, this is a Mobile team that you got to kind of take the roster and then kind of know what the cheat code, if you will, is. You got to take an inch or two off of every player on that starting lineup. So they go 6'5", 6'7", 6'10", 6'9", 6'9", or whatever. Okay, so maybe they're 6'3", 6'5", 6'6", 6'8". Doesn't matter. Compared to Cary, extremely long, extremely athletic. And they play a zone that is very difficult to dissect They did a really good job in that zone. They were very active in that zone. It was a zone in which it was a 1-3-1 that Kerry had not seen on film going in. It was something that was new. Now that it's been seen, that'll be something that certainly is favorable for Kerry in the return matchup on Thursday night, February 20th, which I'm already telling people to circle that on your calendar. We need an absolute sellout, standing room only crowd for that matchup that could have huge implications in terms of the division and in terms of seeding for the postseason. But back to that matchup, Kerry was making shots early, but they were very difficult contested shots, very taxing on a William Kerry team that was in their third game of a 5-game road swing that was kind of already a little road weary. And then, you know, at the half, you're down 2, and then Mobile comes out in the second half, and they go crazy. They shoot 60% from the floor, and they were making it from everywhere. And Kerry kind of kept it close, kind of hung around down 8-10, but then there were a couple of threes that pushed it out a little bit more. And with about 7 minutes left, Kerry just ran out of gas. It was as if that will, just that energy, that emotional energy of kind of really thinking, okay, we can do this, we can complete this comeback. Their body wasn't responding to what they mentally needed it to do. And so then, boy, the last 7 minutes were ugly. I mean, it was just ugly. And, you know, the guys knew that. Traylon Smith from Petal, from Richton, plays for Mobile. So there was a lot of friendly chatter, if you will. That rivalry right now with some of the guys that are on Mobile and the guys that are on Kerry, and they kind of know one another. So it's one of those, like, competitive, friendly rivalries in this iteration, which was good to see. I mean, you need to see that, especially with what Mobile's gone through this year.
Yeah.
Losing the freshman player and losing that teammate in November. That program's been through a lot. They're really, really good. Kerry's going to be really, really good against them in Clinton Gym. We know that. So all in all, a learning experience. I know that I kind of think Coach Knight, Coach PJ, Coach Burt, I think the coaches took it a little bit harder than the players. I think the players were just physically toast at the end of that game. And, you know, could overhear some of the conversation as we were kind of waiting for post game to get there and waiting to get on the bus. And they were just like, hey, man, y'all played a great game. Y'all had a great game plan. And because, I mean, these guys are talking to Traylon, right? I mean, Jamar, Traylon, these are all Petal guys. These are area guys here in Mississippi. Traylon appreciated the rivalry. He said, if I'd have known that this rivalry was as good as it was, I would have transferred to Mobile sooner. So I guess Mobile was the one that was showing the interest, perhaps. So for whatever reason, that was where he would have hoped to have gotten there sooner. But isn't that something that it's another big-time player, whether it's Mississippi, Alabama, wherever, that gets to the Southern States, that gets to the NAIA, and loves it? I mean, how many times have we heard that this year from players of how great this league is and how great they enjoy these rivalries?
I mean, I think it applies to us, too. It applies to broadcasters, players, fans. You know, once you come into the fold, all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is my kind of scene. You get just of intensive ball games. You get more of the true amateurism that is now kind of lacking at the D1 level in NCAA. But you have, I mean, great rivalries that spawn out of these different leagues. Again, Kerry Mobile, a long-standing one, going back to the GCAC days, probably even before, and now into the SSAC. You pair that with some of the nuanced ones of Dalton State and William Kerry, that's kind of been a basketball type of rivalry. You have a new one blossoming in baseball of possibly William Kerry and Blue Mountain Christian, now that they're starting to get things pulled together. I think that matchup we'll have later on in baseball season will be good. When we see the toppers, that'll be a road matchup, I believe, unless something changed from last year's schedule rotation to this one. And I'll double check that before we end the show today. But all in all, just a really fun league to be a part of.
Oh, yeah. Great segue to talk about the league, to talk about the RPI rankings. We'll start first for the men's side. Kerry does not lose ground by losing that game. Now, Kerry is receiving votes enough for 37th in the last poll. 34th, though, in the RPI. Mobile sits at 32. Tougaloo coming up on the schedule, February 3rd, 31. Life is coming up on the schedule on the 30th of January at Clinton Gymnasium. They are ranked 26th. Middle Georgia on Monday, 52nd. And then you remember Dalton State up there at 13. But there you've got anywhere from 7 to 8 teams on the men's side in that top 90. So this is a men's league that could absolutely, depending on how things shake out and how many upsets there are in the conference tournaments and so forth, could be a 3-4 bid league easily that on the men's side.
Very much could. Which, by the way, programming, though, you're going to be on the road covering those matchups with Bruton Parker and Middle Georgia State, men's and women's, as they'll be out there in Georgia coming up this weekend on into Monday.
Yes, right? Absolutely. And one of the things we're looking at doing, too, is kind of pushing those links a little bit more. So if you follow the Crusaders on X, on Facebook, and some of those different platforms, be looking out for just a little reminder that, hey, you want to follow it tonight, go to this link and get the games. We're going to start pushing that a little bit more here in 2025.
And if you're ever in doubt, it is always going to be on the schedule page for each individual sport. So if you go to the men's basketball schedule page, you will see the given matchup. You'll see a link to if there's a road video stream, they'll have that link. Sometimes it's behind a paywall. You'll see the speaker icon. That's the link to Josh's webcast. And then you'll have a live stats link as well. And a couple other things. Sometimes game notes, sometimes just a history of the matchup as it relates to all that. Next FM broadcast game we'll have is going to be against Life, which is also our next home broadcast.
Sure, yeah.
Basketball.
And that's a little over a week away. And we've got four more coming up. You know, so there, that is one of four more broadcast men's games coming up here on the FM side. So that'll be good.
All right, so that's men's basketball. Before we run out of time this segment, women's basketball has not had a game since we last spoke on the program, but
crazy,
we have had new RPI come out. The rankings have come out as well. Little surprising, and I'm wondering if there wasn't some money under the table from Coach English to pollsters to make sure this certain result happened. But William Carey is the only, by what we have been able to decipher, the only undefeated women's basketball team not in the top 25.
Yeah, certainly out of the top, you know, you look at those top seven teams at least. I mean, if you glance again real quick, because sometimes you can't proof your own work, look at that RPI again. Do you see some random undefeated team maybe that played a few games buried somewhere? Because I didn't see them. I had seven. And so when I look at the rankings, you've got Iowa, Dort. Is that how you say it? D-O-R-D-T? Dort?
Yeah, Dort.
Dort, Iowa. Okay, 21 first-place votes. Then Indiana Wesleyan, 2. Campbellsville, 3. Southern Idaho, 4. All undefeated. Down at 7 is Freed Hardeman. So they went from the poll a little over a month ago, receiving votes to 17-0 at that time. They've now slipped to 17-2, but are very good in the RPI. And then you look down here to Xavier, Louisiana. There they are, 16-0. They go from 25 to 21. And then down at 29, undefeated, number 6 in the RPI, your William Carey Lady Crusaders. And so, yes, I posed that question to Coach English. I said, Coach, who'd you pay off to keep the bullseye from getting even bigger on your back? And he laughed. Here's something about this, though. He thought about playing that card a little bit and kind of bringing that up on this road swing. But he said no. He said the girls don't even know. They don't even know what the poll is. They don't notice. They don't pay attention to any of those numbers. I'm not even going to mention it. So, fans, this is for us. Now we've got parents that follow the show and relatives that follow the show of these players, and you want to kind of get upset for the players. You don't have to. They're not paying attention. I think it's a card that other teams will play, though. Hey, you've got ranked William Carey. They're already playing the undefeated card. So if Carey were coming in with a top 10 ranking, then it only becomes more of a, and this is an overused term, a Super Bowl scenario for that opposing team when you've got that team, especially when Carey goes on the road. So they've got two big games the ladies have this week in a year of a very strange schedule in which this is the third extended break of the season for the Lady Crusaders. And I mean, you're already bringing that up. Didn't even have a game last week. I mean, it's just a strange schedule.
It is. And I do have one other team I found. So Coach
English, thought there might be.
Coach English and now Matt Moore, head coach at Columbia College in Missouri, also ones trying to keep themselves out of the polls. Columbia undefeated so far on the year.
And not even receiving votes. So I don't know what their schedule looks like. I'm not sure the league they're playing in right now. But
they got 43.
Did they?
Yes. They're kind of on that.
They go from line to line. Yeah. Second line to third line.
Yeah, but way down the list in receiving votes. So, yeah, strength of schedule.
34, 35 in that poll.
Yeah. Yeah. And they are, 19 in RPI right now. So those are the only two, Cary and Columbia of Missouri, that are out of the polls, but they are undefeated on the season. But all that said, that's just bulletin board material. But honestly, not even bulletin board material for William Cary. As you pointed out, this is not anything they talk about. This is not anything they really care about. They care about their next game up. You heard it from Rose Warren last week. It is next game mentality. How can we improve from week to week or game to game? And that's going to be the mentality all the way through to the national tournament and beyond. All right. So one more segment to go. Got to talk about Crusaders of the Week and look ahead at the schedule. Man, we're counting down to new seasons. That and more as Crusader Talk wraps up next.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, wrapping up with you here on Crusader Talk. One thing we didn't start off the show with, and I know this is less about Crusader Athletics and more about the Super Talk families. We always go live with this on 97.3 in the Hub City, but wanted to give an acknowledgement and mourn the loss of one of our great broadcasters that have been with us since 1990 when Steve Davenport first took this network statewide, and that is Paul Gallo. Passed away yesterday on Sunday, surrounded by family members. We have continually brought his name up on our airwaves today. He'll be sorely missed. Yeah, Josh, you and I use this phrase almost flippantly with people we've been around, but it's true. He was a true radio guy. Yeah, there are not a lot of people that truly embody what the personality and personhood and relationships that radio really bring. Not a lot of people embody it quite like guys like Paul Gallo, and he'll be sorely missed.
Over 50 years. I didn't realize over 50 years in the business as a whole. That's remarkable. Oh,
yeah. Started on his 21st birthday broadcasting and hadn't really slowed down ever since. And I tell you, I can think of numerous times that him and Perez had very fun banter going back and forth during my morning commute, whether it was talking about lottery numbers or any kind of quick shots or analysis that he had. Paul always had the fun sound clips. He had great comedy bits leading into his program. He would have, honestly, storylines that made you care about the news and the world around you. And that's not something that could be said about any news pundit out there. And he's been off Super Talk for a little while now. He had been broadcasting from his home, kind of in the only way that he could, given his health condition. Has been off for a little while, and Richard Cross, Dave Hughes, and others have been filling in the meantime. But now that chair is forever open as far as Paul Gallo filling that chair from this point forward. And again, he's a great broadcaster. I never had the privilege of knowing him personally, just from the distance of Hattiesburg to Jackson and everywhere else I've been. But nevertheless, I've had several people reach out and just share fond memories they have of listening to him over the years on Super Talk.
I think for radio, you just hope that somebody steps in to begin their journey to be themselves and to become their own version of their best self in that type of a role, because media changes and evolves and grows, and there's never been more of it than there is now. There will never be another Paul Gallo. And so you hope that somebody is able to step up and make it their own in that type of a role and that type of a slot.
Yeah, I mean, I brought it up in one of the text groups we're a part of, and it is now both JT and Paul, two huge Super Talk personalities that we have lost in a matter of just five years.
Well said. Yep. Knew JT personally. He was always treated me so well.
Yeah, he was my mentor. He's the one that got me into this broadcasting business.
I did not know that. We'll have to,
First time I ever got on the mic for a sporting event was filling in for him on Madison Ridgeland Academy Baseball, back when those were on WYAB over in Jackson. And that is where I got my start. He rotated over to Madison Central and brought me on as a sideline reporter on that same frequency. And then that rotated into calling games for Bob and them here in Super Talk Hattiesburg and Laurel. Once I moved down to these parts of the Pine Belt and began my normal everyday job, and then jumped into the mic of the broadcast booth as well. But that's getting down the rabbit trail. And again, our thoughts and prayers go out to Paul Gallo's family as they mourn his loss, and our Super Talk family and families around the state of Mississippi that knew him well. All right, to wrap it up today, y'all stay safe out there. You know, obviously, if we have a great deal of snow, enjoy it with the family. Get out the warm clothes, make snow cream or hot chocolate, whatever it is your tradition. We don't get it down here in great amounts very often, but enjoy it while it comes here. Stay out the roads if you can. Only if absolutely necessary, get out there. I know so many places that are going to be closed, so it's almost like it's not worth getting out there unless, again, you absolutely have to. But I just can imagine how fun it's going to be for college students out there to go out and have snowball fights and everything else, if there is enough out there to make a difference.
I think it will. I think it will. That's what I'm hoping for. And that would be neat. And then my dad from New Orleans. So he remembers a couple of snow events in his very early childhood. He was born in 53. This is scheduled to be the most snow in New Orleans since 1963.
Whew. I mean, and how rare is it to have most of the snow in this event happening south of 84? Normally it's always, you know, north of 20 and up to 82. Now we have it kind of Laurel, you know, across to Lincoln County if you're going west and down. And it's kind of an anomaly to see the coast and Hattiesburg getting the brunt of this. Before we run out of time, Crusader of the Week, who was probably the best performance Kerry had as far as basketball?
Well, in terms of basketball, Crusader of the Week, all in all, Cam Brown has just been phenomenal for multiple weeks. And we do certainly have to mention, I've got to pull this up real quick, if I can get it up. It was, help me out with the name here, Caleb. It was the time of sub 6'6 in the 60. Is that right? Is that what I'm going for here for track and field?
Is that Barnabas Agger a week ago?
Yes. But we forgot to mention it. And I feel like it's so good. It was the best, one of the best in the nation. I think it bears repeating to be able to bring that up again as Kerry swept the track and field awards.
All right. So there you go. Cam Brown will be our Crusader of the Week for his basketball performance against Mobile. Games this weekend, Bruton Parker on Saturday. Monday, it'll be Middle Georgia State. Catch those online. For Josh and Dalton, I'm Caleb Hamill. Good night, God bless, and go Saters.
A Super Talk Mississippi media production.